सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ As I said in the previous class, Adishankara Bhagavatpada, in his introductory commentary, before beginning the 9th verse, he presented beautifully the division of the whole teaching. He two divisions, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. The whole teaching presented in the Ishavasya Upanishad is in fact the division beautifully made in Brihadaranyaka and generally in the whole teaching itself, the Vedic, any teaching as a whole, you say any text, this is the main two, these are the two main divisions. So Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, otherwise Nivritti Marga or Pravritti Marga, these are the two parts, and these we do not have many paths like Raja Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, not four paths are not there. There are only two paths, two margas, and they cannot be followed simultaneously, but they can be combined, followed sequentially. This he made very clear. And the one who is totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, for him karma is not required. For him Jnana Yoga is prescribed. So for the people who are still ignorant, who have yet to prepare themselves for knowledge, for them, Karma Yoga. Here, the question might come, what is this Jnanam for? What is this Jnanam for? Or what do you need for moksha? Because you know, the freedom from limitations, freedom from bondage is the ultimate choiceless end. What do you need for moksha? All that you need for moksha is mere knowledge, nothing else. Knowledge alone is enough for moksha. Like what? When you see the snake, you become frightened. And really speaking, there's no real snake. There's no real snake, but you see the snake. You perceive the snake. Your perception of the snake, which is not really there, is because of your ignorance of what actually is. What actually is the rope, and you do not know what is there is rope. You are ignorant of what is. Therefore, you happen to see the you mistake it for the snake. And as a result of your wrong perception of the snake, you become frightened. And fear is not something enjoyable, desirable. And all your effort is to get rid of the fear. You want freedom from fear, caused by the snake. The freedom from fear, the cause is, what is it which causes the fear in you? The perception of the snake. So for you to become free from the fear, you actually, there's no real snake. There's only an apparent snake. So the snake has to be really, snake cannot be killed, but it has to be resolved. It has to be negated. It has to be falsified. There's no snake at all. There is no real snake at all. It has to be falsified. It has to be negated. It has to, for negating that there is no snake, for saying this, there's no real snake at all, for falsifying it, it has to be resolved. And for the snake to be resolved, you should know what is. So knowing what is rope, isn't it? Seeing what is rope is the first thing you need to do. Then after seeing the rope, you resolve the snake in the rope. You know, snake resolves in the vision of the rope. When you resolve the rope, snake in the rope, then there arises knowledge. What is it, knowledge? What is only rope. Appeared like a snake. This is called jnanam. Jnana utpatti. Rising of the knowledge. Rising of the knowledge. What is the knowledge which rises? Jnana utpatti. There is what is only a rope. Is the final knowledge. Clear, doubt-free knowledge. Which rises. What is only rope. That knowledge itself is what? Freedom from fear. For that knowledge to rise, two things must have happened before. What is that? Snake must have been resolved, negated. For the snake to be resolved, first you must have seen the rope. So seeing the rope, the reality of the snake is first, then resolve the snake second, then arises the knowledge what is only rope. It is the knowledge which rises last is what? Freedom from fear. Is it clear now? Jnana utpatti, rising of knowledge means. Before that knowledge was not there. Knowledge rises. Understand? Similarly here also, we can give one more example. You see the water. First you do not see the water. You see only the ocean full of waves. Therefore you are experiencing or perceiving the waves. It is very much real for you. But for you to, you know, you have to see the water first. Isn't it? Water is the reality. Seeing the reality, knowing what the reality is in fact, once you see the water, then you can say the waves are nothing but water. Second is what? Negating. See the water and see then what? Negate the waves, the ocean. Then what third step, what the final step? What is only water appearing in the form of ocean. Is it clear? Because when you don't even see the water, simply you can't say ocean is water. Negation is always after seeing the truth. After negating, there is a jnana utpatti. Knowledge rises. What is only water. Similarly here also, what is jnana? What is that? What is that you want for moksha? Just jnanam, knowledge of the reality. Knowledge alone is enough. What knowledge has to rise? All that is here is Paramatma, Parambrahma. In fact, not only that, and how do you arrive at that Paramatma, Parambrahma? As the very self. Your Aham, Chaitanyam, I did know over Am consciousness, and consciousness is Brahman, the reality. The whole universe is what? Brahman, the reality. Therefore, I, the Brahman, am everything. Understand? This is the vision. It is this knowledge. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am the whole. It is this clear knowledge. It has to rise. This knowledge is in fact freedom from limitations. I the self am the limitless reality is the knowledge. Not I the self am the limitless, non-dual, secondless reality, Brahman. This knowledge is what? Freedom from bondage, freedom from limitations, freedom from samsara. For this knowledge, I the self am the limitless reality, Brahman, the consciousness. For this vision, which is freedom from bondage, freedom from limitations, sorrow. For this knowledge, the immediate step is what? Everything has to be, the duality has to be negated. Duality has to be negated. Duality has to be resolved. Duality, the plurality, has to be negated, falsified. The entire world of experience and objects has to be falsified, negated. For it to be negated means it is not a physical activity, it is a cognitive resolution. It has to be resolved cognitively. You can resolve the entire world of objects, resolve only. Why will you resolve it if you do not know the truth of it? Isn't it? First of all, need to know the truth. Need to see the truth. You do not even know what the truth is. You do not know that you do not know what the truth is. You do not know if there is a truth, first of all. Reality. Therefore, there is the absolute reality, the truth, and which is one secondless non-dual reality. And in that reality, you have to discover the reality first. First of all, you don't even know there is a reality. You don't know what the reality is. You don't know where the reality is available for recognition. First understand, isn't it? All these prakriyas help you to arrive at the reality as in your own mind, as the very self, as the substance of the substantive I, as the swarupam of the very knower, you arrive at it. then once you understand that consciousness, you arrive at as the truth of I, as the content of I, as the sarupam of the knower, that reality, arrive at it, then analyzing the nature of the reality, you understand there's no other reality, there's no reality other than consciousness. It must become very clear. First, arrive at what consciousness is. It is inexplicable, incomprehensible, it is not an object at all. So, arrive at that reality, that itself takes time. Very clearly, then analyze, with the help, Shastra study helps you to understand, arrive at, analyze, ascertain. Then, you understand there is no second thing must be what? You arrived at consciousness. Is there a reality other than consciousness? This is the Shastra helps you. How? No, there is no other reality. You arrive at what? There is no second thing, second reality other than consciousness. Not that there is no second reality other than consciousness. There is no parallel reality. There is no second thing other than the reality. You arrive at it, isn't it? But there's no second thing other than the reality. There's nothing other than consciousness. There's no other reality. There's no reality other than consciousness. Then you see, if the reality is that consciousness alone is the reality, then what about everything else? Everything else has dependent existence. Dependent existence means nothing in the world can be counted as a second thing. Therefore, you resolve everything in the reality. So, first you arrive at the reality, have the vision of the reality. Then, in the vision of the reality, you resolve everything else. Resolve the duality. The vision of the non-dual reality, resolve the duality, dvaita prapancha. It's called Isha Vasyam. Okay? Negation. Once you resolved it, then what? Duality is resolved through the vision of the reality. Then, this resolving the duality, everything else, the vision is called what? Dvaita upamardaha. Dvaita nishedaha. Negation of the duality. Okay, is what now? Resolve it. How do you resolve it? What is there is? When you see what the reality is, then resolve it. What is there is only the reality. Then there comes what? The knowledge. Third step is what? Knowledge arises. What is there is only Brahma. Aham Brahma. So all that is here is the self. There is nothing other than the self. This is the knowledge. So Aham Brahma Asmi. I am the whole. That knowledge. It is the knowledge which is moksha. Knowledge itself is moksha. So you do not need any karma. You do not need any meditation. For moksha. Okay? I'm not saying karma you have to require. For moksha you do not require karma. Any activity. For moksha you do not require any meditation. What is meditation? Meditation is upasanam. Upasanam, see, you have to listen and learn and get it. I can't repeat every time. It's a habit. You have to make it a point to learn and understand. Okay, once upasanam means meditation. You should remember that. Okay, so upasanam, the meditation is a mental activity. Karma, it can be physical or oral activities. So no activity, no action is required. on the part of knowledge to result in moksha. Knowledge alone is enough. After seeing the rope, resolving the snake in the rope, do you still need to sit and meditate on something else to become free from fear? Do you need to sing or meditate on something else? Or go for a walking or running or eating? Do you need to eat something? What action do you need to do after having resolved to become free from fear caused by your perception of the snake? After resolving the snake, what action do you need to do? Isn't it? What is there is only rope. This knowledge itself is enough. You do not need any other meditation, mental activity, or you do not take any physical activity also. Is it clear? This is what Shankara makes it very clear. For the person who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, which means the committed pursuit of knowledge, jnana nishtha, itself is enough, isn't it? Jnana nishtha is enough for him, because for him knowledge alone is enough for moksha. Actually, the karma is not required. Why? In jnanam he can resolve any karma, also is atma. Karma phalam also is atma. And we saw last class, any karma is time bound in nature, any karma phalam also is time bound in nature, whereas moksha is everlasting. The person who has discovered the everlasting fullness and happiness, for him naturally this karma and karma phalam are irrelevant. Therefore, it is the following portion which we are going to see from the 9th verse is actually meant for the people who are still ignorant and who have, we can say, still ignorant or who have yet to become prepared for jnanam. It is not for those who are, for whom knowledge has become committed, who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. He makes it very clear. These two paths are made very clear. Two divisions are made very, very clear. So therefore, hereafter, the portion which is going to come, the verses, they're all meant for only, this comes under the pravritti margaha, a karma yogaha. It is prescribed only for those who are ignorant and those who have the desire to live long with all comforts, for whom still material ends are important. And only for such people the following portion is prescribed. For people who want only jnanam, they need not study anymore. Even if you can stop studying with this, you can stop. The 8th mantra teaching is over. For the following verses are not required, really speaking. Okay, this is Shankar Bhagavatpada's vision, contention, view. Adi Shankar Bhagavatpada's view and the contention, we always take it as vision. This is his view. But we always have some people, people who raise objections. They are called Purva Pakshinaha. Purva Pakshis. And they will say, this portion, why do you say this the following portion, even as a pravritti marga sambandhi vishayaha, even the karma yoga, no, karma nishta portion, it's associated with the karma. Why do you say it has to pursue? Why do you make this division at all? Upanishad does not make this division. Shankara Bhagavatpada makes this division very clear in his commentary. So the Purapakshi might ask this question. Now, why this division has to be made? People who pursue knowledge also should perform karma. Also perform karma means here perform rituals, practice meditation. Knowledge alone is not enough. Along with the pursuit of knowledge, they should, pursuit of knowledge means what? Along with the knowledge, they also need to perform rituals, perform karma, and practice meditation to support knowledge, to make knowledge effective. Okay? This combining or combination is called samuchayaha. Combining one karma with the other karma, or combining a karma with meditation, upasanam, an activity, no, physical activity, mental activity, or combination of two, no, or combining one thing with the other is called samuchayaha in Sanskrit. Samuchayaha. So the Purapakshi's question will be, what? Why do you make this division? The division need not be there. In the sense, it comes as part of the Upanishadic teaching. Therefore, those who pursue knowledge, they also should perform ritual, karma. They also should practice meditation. We can take it as jnana karma samuchayaha, which means the synthesis of knowledge and karma serve as means of attainment of mokshaha, freedom. So here it has to be understood very clearly. See, jnanam and karma cannot be combined at all. Why knowledge and karma cannot be combined at all? Knowledge and action cannot be combined because they are opposed to each other. That's why I explained in the very beginning what is jnanam. What do we mean by knowledge, which serves as a means of attainment of moksha? Is it clear? They cannot be combined at all. They are opposed to each other. Why? Because in jnanam, the duality is negated. Duality is negated, isn't it? In fact, knowledge itself takes place only after, what, only when the duality is negated. The duality is still retained. How can there be jnanam? After see, you know, you have to see the water, then resolve the waves in the water, then you negate the water as mithya, falsify the water as mithya, sorry, falsify the waves and ocean as mithya, negate the ocean and waves as mithya, then you get what the jnana, what is the jnanam? All that is, what is there is only water. That jnanam rises when? Only you can say what is, there is only water after you falsified, negated the waves. Now, without having negated the waves, falsified the waves as mithya. Mithya means what? Mithya means just an appearance of the reality. Appearance of the reality is mithya, which is not something independently existent. So for it to resolve or negate the waves and the ocean as mithya, falsify it as mithya, you have seen the water, isn't it? See the water, falsify the waves and ocean, then the knowledge arises what is, there is only water. Isn't it? So the what is, there is only water rises when? After resolving, negating the duality. Negation of duality is what? Seeing the water first. Is it clear? Similarly here, aham, I am the whole, this vision. I am the whole, this vision happens when? This clear knowledge rises when jnana utpatihi, when does it happen? Only when you negate the duality, falsify the duality. You are not undoing the duality, undoing your perception of duality. You are not undoing your experience of duality. But cognitively you falsify the duality. Isn't it? The plurality. Duality in the form of what? Isn't it? You negate the duality. In the vision of the truth, negate the duality, then the knowledge is what? I am the whole. What is there is only Brahma. Isn't it? It is in this vision, this vision is what? Required for moksha. This vision is moksha. Is it clear? Knowledge itself happens only when you negate, falsify the duality cognitively. When negation of duality or falsification of duality implies what? Negating all the differences. Negating all the differences, all the divisions. What are the divisions here? Doership. Karta, the doer. Karma, isn't it? The object of action. The performance of action. The performer, performance. The object of performance. The beneficiary of performance. Location of performance. All different, isn't it? It's called Kriya, Karta, Kriya, Kartu, Kriya, Karaka, Phala, Bhedaha. All these differences are there. So, Karta, the doer. The doer is resolved. Then, doership is resolved. All the acts, the very action is resolved. And the accessories associated with the action also resolved. All the accessories. Instrument of action, object of action, beneficiary of action, you know, location of action, all those, you know, accessories called karakani, they're all resolved. Then benefit of action, the karma phalam also is resolved. Karta, karma, karaka, phala, beda. All these divisions and differences are resolved. Hope you're understanding.
Yes.
All of them are resolved. Okay, only then the vision, but now there is a only resolve, negate the duality in the form of this kriya karaka pala bheda, all these divisions and differences. There, what now? Knowledge arises. What is there is only the Atma. I am the whole, which alone is required for moksha. Is it clear? Therefore, Here there is, it's called negation of duality, is what? Dvaita vimardaha, dvaita nishedaha, dvaita nishedaha, dvaita upamardaha. Dvaita upamardaha or dvaita nishedaha means negation of duality. Whereas in karma, the duality is retained. Duality is in the form of doer, doership, performance of actions, the accessories associated with the actions, such as object of action, instrument of action, beneficiary of action, location of action, and also the fruit of action. All these differences, no? Kriya, karaka, pala, bhedaha, they're all retained. They're not negated. Therefore, in karma, dvaita upadanam, dvaita adanam is there. Divisions and differences are retained in action. In knowledge, they're all negated. Hope you understand this. Understand? Therefore, complete diagonally opposite. How can this knowledge, this jnanam, where duality is negated, and karma, where duality is retained, how can they both be combined? Therefore, knowledge and action cannot be combined. Next comes, what about upasanam? Karma cannot be combined with the knowledge. What about meditation? Can we combine meditation with upasanam with the knowledge? What do you think about? What do you think of upasanam? Upasanam also come under the category of karma only. Why? Upasanam is only a mental activity. The upasanam, the meditation also happens to be the mental activity. Meditation also involves this bhedaha. Kriya karaka phala bhedaha. Which means in meditation also there is division. What is that? I am the meditator. Kartrutvam is there. I am the meditator. And this object of meditation, upasya devata, upasakaha, aham the upasakaha, and this upasya devata, and devi upasakaha, devi is my upasya devata, and upasana phalam also is there, the fruit of meditation is there. So upasaka, upasya, upasana phala, like, no, again this, again here also what? The phalam, the, here also karaka bedas are also there. Kriya, karaka, phala bedas are here. So upasanam, meditation also as a mental activity, it also involves divisions. Okay, therefore upasanam, jnanam cannot be combined with upasanam also. See, in jnanam, what happens? Upanishad tells, tattvamasi, you are the whole. You are God yourself. You are God. You are equated to God. In that vision of tattvamasi, now in the vision of you are God, in that, where, when you are equated to God, in that vision, you take ownership of the greatness, fullness, limitlessness. You take ownership of the fullness, greatness in jnanam. Whereas in upasanam, you are a limited individual, you are small, and who you are meditating upon, the Devata or Bhagavan, God is great. So the bigness of God, object of meditation, the smallness of the meditator, there is difference, isn't it? Smallness, bigness, difference is there. So the smallness, how can the meditation involving the smallness and the knowledge involving greatness, limitlessness, be combined? Hope you're understanding all the points. Therefore, knowledge cannot be combined with meditation also. So what is this? This is what he makes it very clear. Why knowledge need not be, cannot be, should not be combined at all with any type of karma, physical or mental or any activity, any action. Knowledge itself is independently, by itself, capable of resulting in moksha, the absolute end. Only for moksha I'm talking about, okay? For if you're hungry, you have to eat food. That's a different thing. I'm talking about the moksha, emotional dependence. I'm going to ask some of these questions also. You said, Swamiji, no karma at all requires, therefore should I eat or not? These are not questions. I'm talking about only for emotional dependence, freedom from emotional dependence, for moksha, freedom from bondage, freedom from sense of limitations, isn't it? Sent down. For that, you need jnanam alone is enough. You need not, knowledge need not be combined with any karma, any upasanam. Why? Because knowledge is independently capable of resulting in moksha. I've already seen that. Cannot be combined because they are opposed to each other. Tamav prakashavate viruddha dharmo. They are opposed to each other like darkness and light. Need not be combined. Okay. Therefore, this is Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's vision. Very, make it very clear. Therefore, now what does the word samuchayaha means? The word samuchayaha means synthesis, combining, combination. And here, the following top, okay, therefore, wherever the subject matter of combination, okay, suppose if there is a discussion on combining one thing with the other, if there is a topic of synthesis, then in that area where the synthesis or combination is discussed, there knowledge should not be thought of. Okay, knowledge should be kept away from that area of discussion on synthesis. Knowledge need not be brought in there. Knowledge should be kept away. Knowledge has nothing to do with the combination or synthesis. Samuchayaha. Okay, suppose now we understood knowledge is independently capable of resulting in moksha. It doesn't need to be combined, cannot be combined, should not be combined. How? Because in jnanam, duality is negated, and for karma, duality has to be retained. In jnanam, there's a dvaita upamardaha. In karma, dvaita adhanam, dvaita upadhanam, dvaitam is retained, duality is retained. Therefore, they cannot be combined. Knowledge being independently effective, it need not be combined. Very clear. But now, from this 9th mantra onwards, till the 14th mantra, the topic under discussion is samuchayaha, combination or synthesis. Therefore, knowledge should not be, knowledge means what? Knowledge, this Atma Jnanam or Brahma Jnanam, is it, should not be brought in here at all. This is the vision of Adishankara Bhagavatpada. Now this portion is for whom? This portion is for ignorant people, innocent people who still have, who are highly passionate about lots of things in the world and who want to live long, enjoying all the comforts in life, material comforts. For such people, this portion is discussed. So you should not feel inferior of such people, okay? It is made very, very clear. But what happens in the mantra which are discussed here, look at this. The mantra which are discussed in these verses, the word samuchaya, no? In these mantras, the word vidya is used. The Upanishadic mantras, look at this. Upanishadic mantras have this word vidya. The word vidya, see this now you can't do anything, you have to learn Sanskrit. The word vidya means jnanam, knowledge. And because in this karma yoga portion of the Ishavasi Upanishad, Upanishad mantras themselves have this word vidya. Therefore, Purapakshi is very happy to say what? No, Upanishad itself is authentic, isn't it? Upanishad is the Shruti Pramanam he has got. When Shruti says, Upanishad says, what? Vidya can be combined with karma and upasanam. Because he sees the word vidya there. Therefore, Purapakshi comes happily. Okay, it is your contention. But the word vidya, which means knowledge, and then there is samuchaya in this, it is used here in the samuchaya topic, the word vidya has come. Which means Upanishad, this portion, don't say this portion is only for Ajnanis, only for people, only for karma yogis. This portion is also for people who pursue knowledge. They also should pursuing knowledge, along with the knowledge, isn't it? Attainment of knowledge, they also need to do karma. After jnanam, they need to do karma, practice meditation also for the attainment of mokshaha. But already it is made very clear, knowledge and upasanam, if they are combined also, one will become, they will contradict and one will become inefficacious. And here Shankar Bhagavatpada tells, I do not deny the word vidya is used in the mantras which discuss the topic of combination, samuchayaha. But the word vidya has two meanings. Please understand. The word vidya has two meanings. One meaning of the word vidya is Atma Jnanam, Paramatma Jnanam, Parabrahma Jnanam. knowledge of the absolute reality, knowledge of the self. True. There's another meaning also is there for the word vidya, which means upasanam, meditation. This word vidya has two meanings. One meaning is self-knowledge, another meaning is meditation, which is a mental activity. Therefore, when in this portion discussing the topic of combination, samuchayaha, here the word vidya should be taken as upasanam, not as knowledge. Okay? Why should you take it as knowledge? Why should you take this word vidya in the context of samuchya, synthesis? Why should it be taken as upasanam, not as meditation, not as knowledge? Because upasanam is nothing but a mental activity. So mental activity also comes under, upasanam also comes under the category of the karma only. Therefore, karma is what? Whether kayikam or manasam, physical or mental, one activity can be combined with another activity. Isn't it? So synthesis of karma and upasanam is possible. A synthesis of karma and upasanam alone is mentioned there. Because they both, what now? Because birds of the same feathers flock together. Both come under the category of the karma only. Therefore, karma and upasanam can be combined. But the word there, vidya, does not mean jnanam, does not mean atma jnanam, it means the upasanam, the meditation. Then the Purupakshi will not keep quiet. He will ask, okay, if you say the word has two meanings, why can't we take both the meanings? Why should we take only one meaning? Why should we take the meaning of upasanam alone for the word vidya? Why can't we take the meaning of the brahmajnanam, the atmajnanam also? Why only meditation meaning alone should be taken? Why can't we take the meaning of knowledge also? If you think that knowledge is the meaning, the upasanam is the appropriate meaning, I can take the self-knowledge as the meaning of the word vidya. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So let us take both the words. You keep one meaning, let me keep another meaning, so that I can combine knowledge with karma. Here again, Shankara Bhagavad Pada makes it very clear. See, Upanishad does not say which meaning should be taken. So, it is the commentator's work, commentator's responsibility to give the appropriate meaning by right interpretation. So, Shankara Bhagavad Pada says, always the meaning should be taken in keeping with the context it is used. In the context of the synthesis or combination, the word vidya should be interpreted as upasanam. In the context of moksha, the word vidya should be interpreted as atmajnanam, self-knowledge. What should be the meaning of the word vidya used in this samuchaya topic portion? This is the discussion. If it is not clear, how can you enter into the very verses? So what is the context? What should be taken? Shankara Bhagavad Pada makes it very clear. Example, You have lost weight, losing weight. The doctor sees two people. Lost weight, very good, he says. Lost weight, you have to be careful. Okay, same expression. You have lost weight, fantastic, very good. You have lost lot of weight, very bad. Same expression, to one person he says very good, to another person he says very bad, which means it's a problem, it's a symptom of illness. For the person who has this tuberculosis, and the doctor tells you have lost lot of weight, in the very loose, your loss of weight itself is symptom of your illness. It has to be taken care of. For the healthy, fat person, you know, who is not ill, for him says, thank God you lost weight, it's good. Losing weight, isn't it? Same expression for two different people, in the context of healthy person, with reference to healthy person, losing weight is good. With reference to the ill person who is ill, losing weight is bad. How one expression gives two different meanings, isn't it? One place it is good, one place it is bad. So you have to take where it is good, where it is wrong. Losing weight is good, where it is wrong, where it is right. Where it is good, where it is bad. So in the context, isn't it? Which context this expression is used? You have to take the right meaning. Similarly, the word vidya has two meanings. Which meaning should I take in this context? It has the meaning of meditation. It also means knowledge. But here, in this, because in the context of samuchayaha, combination, synthesis, in this portion discussing the synthesis, the topic of discussion, the word vidya should be taken as the upasanam, meditation. In the context of moksha, the word vidya should be taken as atma jnanam. He makes it clear. If in this portion it is said, karma jnana samuchayaha, means you take it as karma upasana samuchayaha. Or karma vidya samuchayaha, if it is said, you have to take it as karma upasana samuchayaha. Synthesis of karma and meditation, upasana. Then, again, you make it very clear later on. There are people who will take this word upasanam itself as knowledge. So Purupakshi comes, now he leaves all that. Next step is what? Why should we not take the very upasanam as jnanam? Meditation itself is knowledge. Why can't we take it that way? Why should we take it as two different things? Why can't we take them as one? Upasanam itself can be taken as knowledge. In Visishtadvaitam, when they interpret Brahma Vida Apnoti Param, the sentence is there, isn't it? Taittiriya Upanishad. The knower of Brahman attains the absolute. But they will say what? Brahmavit is translated as, interpreted as Brahma Upasakaha Paramapnoti. If it is said here Jnanena Param, they will say Upasanena Mokshaha. Visishtadvaitam, they'll say. So why can't we take Upasanam itself as Jnanam? If the question comes, Shankara Bhagavatpada says very clearly, no, you cannot take knowledge, Atma Jnanam and Upasanam as one. Why can't take it as one? Because they are two different things, because they produce two different phalams. The results are distinct. Different results. Upasana phalam is now parichinnam, time bound. Karma phalam also is time bound, parichinnam. Therefore, Upasana and karma can be combined. Whereas, Jnana Palam is aparichinnam, timeless, everlasting. How can the everlasting mokshaha, which is the result of knowledge, which you discover as a result of knowledge, and time-bound result produced by upasanam, understand, be taken as one. The results are different. Therefore, karma, upasanam and jnanam cannot be taken as one. Upasanam cannot be taken as knowledge. Jnanam. Is it clear? So all these things are to be made very clear. So with this, the Jnana Karma Samuchaya Ninda is over. I mean, the Shankara's view of, vision of knowledge need not be, cannot be, should not be combined with the karma becomes established. Okay, now we can enter into the ninth mantra. Now here again, before we enter there, we have to understand one more thing. Samuchayaha means combination, synthesis, which means one thing can be combined with the other, isn't it? So what samuchaya means, the samuchayaha of or combination of two things means which two things can be combined. There is another question comes. Here, two angis can be combined. Synthesis must be always of two angis. Next question comes, what do you mean by angi? Angi dvaya samuchayaha is possible. See, angi means if whether it is a physical activity, a karma, or whether it is an upasanam, mental activity, if it is capable of producing the phalam independently, it is called angi. A physical activity, a karma, or mental activity, upasanam, any one karma is independently capable of producing the phalam, it is called angi. Okay? Independently productive, effective action is called angi. Suppose if there are two actions, okay, two activities, one action is not independently effective, it cannot produce a phalam. But if there is an activity, there is a karma which can produce the phalam, benefruit independently, then this the non-productive karma can be combined with the productive karma. No? If you ask, no. The non-productive, that's called, the non-productive karma is called angam. It becomes the angam, part of the angi. Independently productive alone is called angi. The independently non-productive action is called one action, cannot be combined with a productive one. If, because the non-productive combined with the productive karma is called, not called samuchya synthesis, it is said what anga angi bhavaha. It is part of, we don't see it as two different things. Got it? Anga angi bhavaha. Anga means part. Angi means partful. Okay, the angi is that which has the part. Anga means the part. So non-productive karma, if it is joined, if it is combined with a productive one, we do not call it, like it is not seen as two different things. It is not called combination. It is not called samuchayaha. It is called anga angi bhava sambandha. It is not called samuchayaha. Anga angi bhava sambandha is different from samuchayaha, combination. So what can be combined then? Samuchayaha is possible only if both two karmas are independently productive. Independently, if they can produce phalam, then each, both must be angi. One karma is independently productive, it can produce phalam. Another karma also can produce phalam independently. Then these two karmas, which can be productive, which are productive, which can produce fruits independently, they can be combined. Understand? Samuchayaha, combination, combining, synthesis is always of two independent actions which can produce phalams independently, which both are angis. So angi dvaya samuchayaha is possible. Synthesis is, combination is always of two angis. If one is anga, another is angi, we do not call it synthesis. The whole thing is seen as one karma only. In anga angi bhava sambandha, there is only one karma. In angi dvaya sambandha, there is two independent angis, two different karmas. Is it clear now? Do not see it as two if one is unproductive. It's very clear. It will be very clear. Only then I can enter further. This is called what is samuchayaha. Got it? Now, the ninth mantra. The ninth mantra, nothing is big is said. It just says, it condemns independent performance of karma. It condemns independent performance of upasanam. Independently, individually performing karma is condemned. And individually, independently performing the practice, this perform meditation, or practicing meditation also is condemned. Why is it condemned again? As I said, is again here also, like before I introduced to you, Nahi Ninda Nyayaha. Nahi Ninda Nyaya means what? It is here independent performance of karma or individual independent performance of the practice of upasanam is not condemning the individual performance of karma or practice of meditation is not condemned. At least in order to highlight the importance of superiority of the samuchya combination, okay, the individually performing karma or upasam is condemned. Okay, it's mainly for glorifying, mainly for showing the great superiority of samuchaya synthesis. If you combine, you have greater result. If you do not combine, you have a simple result. They are not totally useless, isn't it? If you perform karma, only karma, without combining it with meditation, the benefit will be less. If you practice only meditation without performing the ritual, the benefit will be less. If you combine both, then you will have greater benefit. You have more benefit. So to help the people enjoy greater benefit, more benefit, Upanishad really talks highly of, not to talk highly of the synthesis, synthesizing karma with upasanam, samuchaya, isn't it? Upanishad condemns the independently, individually performing karma and individual practicing meditation. Just, so you can understand, karma, upasana, samuchaya, prashamsa nimittam. Isn't it? For seeing it, for glorifying it, to make it more important, sound more important, more praiseworthy, it condemns this. So condemnation is not the tatparyam, the aim of the Upanishad condemning is not for condemning the individual performance, independent performance of karma or upasana. Is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with this understanding, we can enter. Andham tavam, andham tamav pravishanti.
Andham tamav pravishanti.
Ye vidyam upasate.
Ye vidyam upasate.
Tato bhuya iva.
Tato bhuya iva.
Te.
Te.
Tamo.
Tamo.
Yau.
Yau.
Vidyayam.
Vidyayam.
Rataha.
Rataha.
Okay. This you have to understand in these three verses here. The ninth verse condemns the individual independent performance of karma and upasanam. Then the tenth verse establishes the synthesis. Establishes how the combination or synthesis of karma and upasanam is possible is presented in the 10th verse. Then the 11th verse actually presents the synthesis, samuchaya. Okay, then benefit of combination also. Benefit of synthesizing karma with upasanam is presented in the 11th verse. Look at this. So, andham tamaha pravishanti. Andham tamaha means blinding darkness. Pravishanti, enter. These people enter into blinding darkness means what? They go to narakam. They go to hell. Go to hell means what? Really, do they go to hell? Just exaggeration. It's called exaggeration. Really, they do not go to hell. Really, they do not really, they don't enter into blinding darkness. Because a gloomy, dark place, isn't it? Andam tamaha pravishanti means they'll enter into blinding darkness means what? They'll suffer, isn't it? It is exaggeration. Understand? Who? Ye avidyam upasate. Avidyam upasate. See, be careful. In this context, the word avidya means karma. And be very careful. That is why in Ishavasya Upanishad, no word gives direct meaning. The word avidya means ignorance, isn't it? But here the word avidya means what? Here the word avidya means karma. Why karma is implied by the word avidya here? Why Upanishad has used the word avidya here? Because karma is product of ignorance. Not only ignorance, karma is opposed to jnanam, vidya. Is it? Jnanam is opposed to karma. Not opposed to karma. Therefore, ignorance is what? We say, avidya here. Karma is product of ignorance. Therefore, the word avidya here means karma. So, what he says, ye avidyam upasate. The word upasate literally means meditate. But here, the meaning you should take here, those who focus only on performing karma. Ye avidyam upasate means those who pay attention only to the performance of karma, or those who focus only on performing a karma, those who do not combine this karma with upasanam, such people, those who perform only merely karma, such people enter into blinding darkness. It is an expression of exaggeration. Really speaking, no karma prescribed in the Veda will make you suffer or take it to such a worse narakam, isn't it? Only exaggeration. Sometimes it is said, that's why it's avidya karma. So mere performance of karma is condemned here. This condemnation of individual mere performance of karma is actually for glorifying, no, attracting the towards the synthesis combination of karma with upasana. Now, so next line, see the next line. If you see, tataha bhuyaha iva. Tataha means now, than that darkness, than the darkness. The mere performance of karma enter into blinding darkness, go to naraka means, no, greater with tataha bhuyaha, greater will be the darkness, greater will be, worse will be the place, who, te, tataha bhuyaha iva tamaha, greater will be the darkness, ya u vidyayam rataha, those who are given only to the practice of meditation, they enter into greater narakam, a worse. We be very careful here. Those who are given only to the practice of meditation, those who avoid performing, you know, karma, such people enter into greater narakam, greater darkness. Those who perform mere karma without combining it with upasanam, they will enter into blinding darkness, narakam. Please understand, be very careful, don't take it literally. See, that's why you have to study with the help of the teacher. How can meditation prescribed in the Upasana Kanda or the Veda take you to narakam? How can it take it to blinding darkness? And how can the karma prescribed in the Veda will take you to performance of the kach karma will take you to blinding darkness or narakam? It's only an exaggeration, okay? The verse condemns the mere performance of karma without combining it with upasanam, or mere performance of upasanam without combining it with karma is condemned here. The condemnation is mainly for highlighting, glorifying the importance of samuchayaha, synthesis, combination. Purpose is difficult. Again, we have to remember, nahi ninda nyaya. I taught you long ago. Hope you remember that. Do not remember, please go back and listen. Nahi ninda nyayaha means what? Ninda, the condemnation of mere performance of karma, or condemnation of mere performance of upasanam, practice of upasanam, is not for condemning, but for emphasizing the synthesis, combination. Okay? This is the meaning you should understand. Then next we have Vidyayam Rataha. Let us go to the next mantra now. Anyadevahuhu
Anyadevahuhu
Vidyaya
Vidyaya
Anyadahuravidyaya
Anyadahuravidyaya
Iti Sushruma
Iti Sushruma
Dhiranam
Dhiranam
Yenastadvichachakshire
Yenastadvichachakshire.
Okay. Here, Anyadeva Ahuhu. Anyadeva Ahuhu means what now? Ahuhu, Vidyaya. You are supplying a lot of words here. Vidyaya, by practicing meditation, or by meditating upon, okay, a given devata, by practicing meditation, Vidyaya, Upasanena, Anyadeva Ahuhu. Here the word Vidya will be taken as what? Upasanam. Upasanena, by practicing meditation, Anyadeva Ahuhu. There's a different palam. Upasanam by itself produces a palam. Upasanam is independently capable of producing a palam, producing a result. It's a productive independently. Therefore, upasanam is what? Angi. Right now, upasanam means meditation. You practiced, is capable of producing a result by itself. Therefore, it is what? Angi. That is why I said previous verse, what was said in the previous verse, only exaggeration, not only for, just for, making the synthesis important. Isn't it? It was used. Therefore, Anyadeva, Anyad means what? Other. Anyadeva Ahuhu. There's a different phalam produced by mere practice of upasanam. Therefore, upasanam is what? Angi. What is angi? Angi is something which can produce a phalam independently. Understand? Is angi. Then, anyadahuhu avidyaya. And there's a different fruit, okay? There's a different result produced by karma. Avidyaya, I mean what now? By karma. Karmana. Which means the performance of karma, mere performance of karma produces fruit, the phalam, result independently. Okay? And the mere practice of meditation also produces phalam. Meditation also is effective independently by itself. The karma performance of ritual also is effective, productive individually. Therefore, what now? Karma is also angi, upasanam also is angi. It's clear? Both are angis only. Therefore, they both can be combined. Samuchcheha is possible. I said, if one karma cannot produce the phalam, one karma alone can produce phalam, then the non-productive, when it is joined with the productive, it is called anga angi bhava sambandha. You cannot take it as samuchayaha synthesis. Is it clear? It's only one karma only. But here, if both are independently productive, result giving, then both are called what? Angis. And two angis can be synthesized, combined. Therefore, here this verse says what now? Yes, karma and upasanam can be combined. Combination of karma and upasanam, okay, is possible. Why it is possible? Both are angis. Why both are angis? But both can individually, independently produce phalam. So look very simple, isn't it? Lots of information is all. Therefore, anyadeva ahuhu vidyaya, anyad ahuhu avidyaya. Anyat means what? Ahuhu means what? Who said this? Ahu means, see, people say there is an independent fruit produced by karma. There is independent result produced by meditation. Therefore, they both are angis. Therefore, they both can be combined. So, samuchayaha is possible. Karma, upasana, samuchayaha is possible. Who said this? Iti Sushruma Dhiranam. We have heard this from, we have understood this from, karma is independently productive, upasanam is independently productive, therefore they both are angis, they both happen to be angis, both can be combined. Samuchayaha is samuchayaha, combination of karma and upasanam is possible. This we have heard it from whom? Iti Shushruma, we have heard from who? From whom? Dhiranam, from the words of wise people, intelligent people. Here Dhiraha, wise people means what? Not Brahmajnanis. In this context, Dhiraha means well informed in the subject matter of karma and upasanam. People who have profound knowledge of karma and upasanam, they are well-informed people, well-read people. People of profound knowledge of karma and upasanam, they are said to be dhiraha. Those people, intelligent people, highly learned people, who have profound knowledge of karma and upasanam, they told us, we have heard from their words, that independently productive karma, karma is also independently productive. Upasanam also is independently productive. Therefore, they both are angis and they both can be combined. Samuchcheha of both is possible. Okay. Ye naha tad vichachakshire. Vichachakshire is a chandasa prayogaha. It could have been vyachachakshire. It's a past perfect tense verb. Okay. Vyacha Chakshire means Dhiranam, Iti Sushma Dhiranam, Ye Naha Vyacha Chakshire. From those people, those learned people who had taught us before. Ye Naha Vyacha Chakshire, those people who had taught us before, from them, from their words, we have heard very clearly that karma is angi, upasanam also is angi. Why? Because they both produce results independently. Therefore, combination of karma and upasanam is possible. Which means here also, whenever ye naha vyacha chakshire, this expression comes, they always the credit given to the sampradaya. Which means they never claim anything they say as their own. We have heard it from our teachers, means our teachers have heard from their teachers. Okay? Their teachers have heard from their teachers. No teacher can claim it is my own. I am giving you. No, nobody told this. It's my own interpretation. When a teacher says it is wrong, isn't it? It's not my interpretation. This is the vision which has been being given by one teacher to the other teacher, which has been coming down. So we have heard it from our teachers. Okay? Those teachers who had explained to us, who had taught us before, they told us, which means it has been agachati, it has been coming. And that's why the very word agamaha, Vedas called agamaha. Know why agamaha? That which has been coming down from one person to the through the other person is called agamaha. Oruvaridam irundu mattoruvarukku edhu vandu kondirikkirado, isn't it? It's called agamaha. Agachati iti agamaha. It comes from one teacher to the student, again other teacher student to other student, isn't it? That's why it's called agamaha. So yenas tad vyacha chakshire means vicha chakshire is the verb. There must have been an I in between which got dropped, okay? Vyacha chakshire, who had taught us, okay? And from them we have understood this fact. What is the fact? Karma is independently productive. Upasanam also is independently productive. Therefore, they are angis. Therefore, they can be combined. Samuchchayaha is possible. So, first, you understand, individual independent performance of karma and upasanam is condemned to glorify samuchchayaha synthesis. Then, the samuchchayaha between karma and upasanam is established. Now samuchaya is going to be presented in the next mantra. Shall we see it next week? Sorry, next Saturday? Let me finish this one alone. I have to tell a few lot of things there. Because it is, you are going to see the benefit of synthesizing karma and upasanam. Isn't it? We'll see next class. Because Mrityum Tirtva. At least for these two mantras are nothing much to learn. The following mantra alone has something to say. What is Mrityu Taranam? No, what is Amrutattva Praptihi? You have to understand. If we practice this, if we combine, if we perform karma along with the practice of meditation, then there is a benefit. That benefit is greater than the benefit you can get by performing mere karma or practicing mere meditation. What is the greater benefit? Here, two benefits are given. One is what? Mrityu Taranam. Crossing over Mrityu. And then Amrutattva Praptihi. Attainment of Amrutattvam. Here, what does the word Mrityuhu mean? What does the word Amrutattvam mean? That needs teaching. Okay? So, we'll stop there. I'll stop here. I give some time if you want any questions you can ask. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ
Yes, so in this portion, nothing much we have, but it means this is something, people want to practice meditation again after, they want, because some experience they want, isn't it? Yes. After knowledge, I want experience, so I want to practice meditation also. That is, which means they are not yet very clear about what jnanam is. That is why I said what very important to understand jnanam. Isn't it? Falsification of duality means what? So vision of the truth, falsification of duality, then arises knowledge. Isn't it? That those three steps are very important. That's what we have to understand.
We first of all see the rope, then that rope, the vision of seeing the rope, negates the
snake.
The snake. But and then there's the vision that there is only rope. But the first thing when you actually see the rope, that is the vision too, isn't it? Is that right? So,
That's why I said that itself is not complete.
Oh, it's not complete.
That is not knowledge. That is not knowledge. When do you call knowledge? What is there is only rope is the knowledge.
Right, so it's going to go via that. So you have to see it.
What is there is only rope is the jnanam.
Yes.
What is there is only Brahman. I, the self, am the whole is the knowledge.
Right.
That's what you call jnanam. That jnanam is what? Moksha utpattikaram, isn't it? Moksha phaladam. Yep. That alone will give you moksha. And for that, you have to falsify the duality.
Right. Okay.
Differences.
Gotcha.
And you can't simply falsify, everything is Brahman, You can't simply say that.
No.
You must have had the vision of the truth. Truth must be very clear. What is truth must be very clear. To arrive at the truth, again, that's why we have all drik drishaveka, prakriya, avastatare, prakriya, panchakosha, prakriya. Mm-hmm. All these prakriyas are for you to arrive at the truth. Because truth is not available elsewhere as an object, isn't it? That is why when you arrive at the truth as sarupam of the very knower, I, thereafter analyze the nature of the truth you have arrived at. And as I understand, yes, there's no truth other than this. This is the truth. Arriving at the truth, then analyzing the nature of the truth and ascertaining this is the truth. This is the truth. Thereafter what? What about everything else then? Not truth. It is not something non-existent. Everything else is what? The only appearance of the truth. Therefore it is mithya. There is no truth other than this. Which means, what about everything else then? Everything else is not the truth. The only appearance of the truth. This is called resolving it, negating it. Then you say, what is there is only the truth. That is the knowledge. That knowledge is alone what now? That is what is actually required for moksha. That is why people know, when first class you go, Drikrishiveka Prakriya, attend Drikrishiveka Prakriya, you understand, okay, I am different from the body minus complex. And then the meaning of I is consciousness, finished. People understand, first class is enough for you. Afterwards it takes very long. People understand, arrive at this word, no? Something they understand. In the very first class you would understand. The meaning of the word I is consciousness, you understand the very first word, class. But it won't be very clear, be vague. That's not simple, isn't it? Again, afterwards also, and then how analyzing the nature of that consciousness, arrived at as the Swarupam of I. Then you may become very clear, there is no truth, no reality other than consciousness. Which, understand, that is consciousness, means that is what is reality. If that is consciousness is reality, means that is Brahma. With the help of the Shuddhi, and again further study helps you. Once you understand, that's why the truth of the universe is this consciousness. Existence of the universe, truth of the universe is the existence of the universe. Existence of the universe is this nothing but consciousness. You understand how Sat and Chit are not two. Isn't it? Therefore, I the Chit am the Sat. Therefore, I am the whole. Which means you negate the whole in that vision. And after negating also what? Even after resolving the snake in the rope also, you see the rope and make sure this rope, there's nothing, no, the rope is, then you resolve the snake in the rope, you know there's no snake. But still, because some you had previously, you were seeing all these days rope, until you saw the rope, you were seeing the snake, that old perception is there, memory is there, but still that doesn't go. Even after seeing the rope also, even after resolving the snake also, still there will be some fear. Because, oh my God, because that shivering will stay some more time. First, you know, then that's what you have to, what now, ascertain it. There is only rope, there is only rope, there is only rope. Don't mechanically say that. You have cognitively, consciously, alertfully resolved the snake, and you have seen, you are very clear there is only rope, but still old perception of the rope, snake, isn't it? Even though you know the rope is, snake is not there, still because you had the experience of rope, snake before, in ignorance, there's still there's some more, isn't it? The old fear comes and disturbs you. You have to sort it out. Then there's only rope. Rope alone is. This is called contemplation. Isn't it?
Yes.
Then what happens? Rope alone is. Understand? So here,
what cannot be negated remains as the truth.
Yeah. That's why there's a method, isn't it? That's why they teach you how you arrive at the truth. First of all, you see the truth. You don't even know there is a truth. You don't know what the truth is. First of all, arrive at the truth. And having arrived at the truth also, is it the truth? I have arrived at it. Is it the truth? Analyze the nature of the truth, then make it very clear. Yes, this is the truth. Then there's no truth other than this. Thereafter, if this alone is the truth, what about what everything else then? Everything else and anything else which is other than the truth is only appearance of the truth. That is what is negation.
Because really, the limitations of language mean you have to go down the negative path rather than the positive path for arriving at that truth.
That is why sampradaya with the teacher is important. That is where translation can take you to any problem. In this, especially Vaishavas Upanishad, my God, the word avidya is used to mean karma. No, and then even the word vidya, does it mean jnanam or upasanam? Isn't it? Even that doubt, even the Purupakshi raises. So Shankara makes it clear, isn't it? What is samuchyaha? What is combination? And samuchya should be done of which two can be combined. And what is angi? What is angam? Anga, isn't it? Angam, angi, bhavaha. So that is not taken as combination of two. It should be taken as only one. Anga Angi Baha means should be taken as the whole thing should be taken as only one karma. If the two Angis mean, then you can take it as synthesis of two. Then the result will be greater present, isn't it? More effective it is. So just, it's all said. Then you had to, that's for that, just to say that simply, what an exaggerated result, my God, people will be scared. You'll go to hell means what? If you perform only karma, you'll go to hell means what? It's just exaggeration. You know, when we were young, they used to tell, if we spill one grain of rice, no? My mother used to tell, if you waste one grain of rice, Bhagavan will make you starve for one full day. Oru parukka vein panna, oru naal patni poduvar. It will frighten. Exaggeration. How if you waste one grain, will it be starved for one day or what? Exaggeration. The idea is what? We should not waste food. That is a tatparyam. In all ways, in Vena, we have that lots of, and they'll say, no, if you, always they'll frighten with, now you'll go to Narakam. This is how they say. You know, if you tell lie, you'll go to Narakam. One lie will make you go to Narakam or what? Exaggeration. Why? You should not tell, you should speak the truth. Highlighting the importance of the value of truthfulness, they'll always frighten you like that. Not frightening. It's called exaggerated thing, isn't it? From here you can understand. Always to something is called Nahininda Nyaya. To praise something else, you condemn something else. So condemnation of one thing is not actually to condemn the thing which is condemned, but to highlight, to praise something else.
There might be a few hindrances, but it wasn't for us. We were told when I was 5 years old that when I died, the angels and the devils would have a race to see who was gonna think. And I was thinking, my God, I hope the angels win, because It wasn't told as a metaphor. It was scary stuff.
Really?
Yeah, that's what we were told.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And if you
So did you think it as real?
Yeah, absolutely. We were told it as real. Even if, you know, when you get to confession and there was this lady who didn't tell the priest everything when she had communion, little devils dancing in her hair and her earrings. Oh, yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Sometimes we need such fright.
It was not good.
I know, at Narakam, no? And then they'll say, if you go and steal somebody else's property, then when you go to Narakam, they'll put you into the boiling water, and all those things, no? All sorts of fright. All Narakam means they'll frighten like anything. It's all just not really, it's all exaggeration, isn't it? Not true. But idea is, so that we die. If you emphasize the values. All Puranas. But at least this you understood now, yes. Isn't it? Okay, see, the words are very quick. We can go now, hereafter. But the important thing is, what is Mrityu Tarana? That's the important thing. We'll see later on. At least you are very clear today why Jnanam and Karma cannot be combined.
Very clear. That was very
Need not be combined also.